I was feeling like a conqueror on that sunny day in Wyoming, a conqueror like Alexander the Great. I felt so proud of myself, using my strength and skill and daring to conquer every rapid and eddy and to read the river perfectly and execute every maneuver just right. There I was, accompanied by Mary, my wife, my life partner of 37 years, and in the other canoe, the best of friends. With the sun on my back, breathing wonderful air, cruising down a magnificently scenic river and taking in all the sights and smells and sounds. Yes, I was Alexander the Great, having triumphed in Macedonia, Persia, Babylonia, India, Egypt, and now Wyoming. Up ahead, I could see two adult Canada geese swimming along with their five very tiny goslings. Now, I was not a bird watcher. On an excitement scale, I would have put bird watching at that time in my life somewhere between crocheting and doing laundry. But Mary was an avid birder, and so I steered the canoe over toward the geese, both to give Mary a better look and to show off my canoeing skills. My triumphant reverie was abruptly punctured, however, with the words, "Paul, what are you doing? We're not supposed to get this close. That's why they invented binoculars." The mighty conqueror slash navigator, trying to remain unperturbed in the midst of this unexpected impertinence, failed to notice a significant eddy up ahead, a significant eddy that would cause the canoe to make an abrupt 90-degree left turn and aim directly at the goose family. Nothing in my life prepared me for what I was about to experience. The canoe slid right in between the five little goslings, who were on the upstream side of the canoe, and their parents, who were on the downstream side. Little goslings were these tiny little yellow creatures with button eyes that seemed to have been pasted onto long, fuzzy, yellow sticks that were their necks. Each of them was tiny enough to fit in the palm of my hand, and they were right there next to my end of the canoe. I could have picked them up and held them, or even eaten them, had I been so inclined. Mightily, the goslings struggled to keep from colliding with the canoe, or even worse, being sucked under it by the powerful current. Although their little vestigial wings were of no help, they were fortunately provided with big webbed feet, of which they paddled furiously. Never in my life had I seen anything that was at the same time both so ugly and so unbelievably cute, and at the same time both so vulnerable and so utterly resourceful. As the big creek, big green canoe passed between them and their babies, Mama and Papa Goose honked loudly and flapped their wings mightily. Then they took off and headed downriver. I expected they might fly 100 yards or so and then come back. But to my horror, they just kept going, flying downriver in perfect tandem until they disappeared into blue sky. I wanted to yell at them, "Come back, come back. Don't abandon your babies." Suddenly, the warm sun on my back became global warming. Suddenly, the row of white bubbles next to the canoe became chemical fertilizer from farmers' fields. Suddenly, the train whistle I could hear up ahead became the first transcontinental railroad that brought so much devastation to the Sioux and Cheyenne, and from the vestibules of whose coaches so many buffalo and antelope were senselessly shot. And suddenly, I was not Alexander the Great. No, I was Darth Vader, a stranger in a strange land, an intruder whose ancestors came from another continent or planet, harming everything as they marched across this continent, including now this goose family. In a matter of seconds, I had gone from elation to deflation, from self-congratulation to self-deprecation. And I did something I often do at moments when I have no idea what else to do. I remembered a Far Side cartoon about Colonel Sanders, the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken, entitled Colonel Sanders at the Pearly Gates. It shows an elderly man arriving at the entrance to heaven. At the gates where one would expect to see St. Peter is, you guessed it, a chicken. The little balloon over Colonel Sanders' head says simply, uh-oh. And I imagined a Far Side cartoon of myself arriving at those same pearly gates. Yes, we UUs may not believe in heaven, but we do believe that just in case there is one, we wouldn't mind being first in line. In the foreground would be these five baby geese whom I had almost run over and whose parents I had driven away. There they would be, with their little vestigial wings on their hips, looking at me kind of squintingly. And there on either side of them would be all the cows and chickens I've eaten. And right behind the cows and chickens were the Native Americans my pilgrim ancestors killed in the 1600s. And in the foreground would be all the children I might have adopted but didn't, not to mention all the homeless people to whom I didn't even give a quarter. And every one of these beings would be, just like the baby geese, looking at me kind of squintingly. And above the figure of myself would be three balloons. But I gave to the Nature Conservancy, but I gave to the Native American Rights Fund. My cat loves me. After a few minutes that seemed like hours, Mary and I got control of the canoe and continued on down the river, still wondering if Mama and Papa Goose would ever come back to their babies. Before we had gone 50 yards, however, the river started looking awfully familiar. I had a tremendous sense of deja vu, of having been in that place before. It took a few more moments to realize that this was the same stretch of river where we had had another close encounter 2 years earlier. A close encounter of a very different kind, one in which we were the near victims. That was the trip when the river seemed awfully high when we began, but I, feeling so proud of my canoeing skills and perhaps a little addicted to danger, insisted we proceed even though we both had misgivings. That was the trip the water level got higher and higher once we got underway. That was the trip where we noticed there weren't any other canoes on the river. That was the trip when the big black clouds and the booming thunder came suddenly over the canyon wall and kept cycling back around for nearly 14 hours. That was the trip we couldn't find a safe place to land. And when we finally did land, I had to jump in the water to keep the canoe from tipping over when my end of the canoe was pulled under an overhanging branch. That was the trip we put up our tent just as the rain began, only to realize our campsite was not that many feet above a river that could easily rise during a storm. And then, before we had time to move the tent, thunder and lightning and torrential rain began. It rained and thundered with only a few brief respites from 3 in the afternoon until 5 the next morning. As we lay shivering in our tent on top of our partially wet sleeping bags, with our arms and legs sometimes raised up to reinforce the tent poles that were bending precipitously in the strong gusts, knowing we were probably 10 miles from any public road or house or shelter, my heart felt like it would stop any second. At any second, I realized, a thunderbolt or a flash flood could mean the end of our lives. So, over a distance of just a few hundred yards, I went from feeling like a conqueror to feeling like an intruder to feeling like the most vulnerable of all victims. How strange that in such a short space, I could have so many different conceptions of my relationship to the natural world. Just at the moment my reminiscences ended, I looked up and saw something flying upstream. You didn't think I'd leave them up there forever, did you? After a few minutes that had lasted forever, Mama and Papa Goose reappeared in the sky, this time going upriver in perfect tandem, unhurriedly, majestically. And I looked back just in time to see them plop down next to their babies. A few minutes later, I could barely see in the distance the five baby geese darting joyfully about in the gleaming waters next to their parents on this most beautiful of beautiful days. The resilient goose family had survived my clumsiness. They were unscathed. Why, tomorrow these geese might not even remember the big green canoe and the clumsy guy who was imagining he was Alexander the Great. They had survived their close encounter, just as Mary and I had survived our own close encounter 2 years earlier. They were survivors, just like us. That was when it hit me. We are not conquerors. We are not intruders. We are not victims. We are not so much any of these things as we are survivors. Geese and humans and all other species are survivors on the same planet. The same beautiful planet that gives no guarantees of anyone's permanent survival. Even more importantly, we, like those geese, are indigenous to this planet. We are not strangers from outer space. We are not angels fallen from the heavenly spheres. All of us may not be indigenous to this particular continent, but we are still indigenous to this planet. All our ancestors, no matter what our background, came sometime during the last however many hundred thousand years from a common source. We are earthlings. Earth has shaped us and made us who we are. Earth has given us our strengths and weaknesses. Earth has decided we should have arms instead of wings, naked skin instead of feathers, feet made for running, not for swimming. And Earth has created in us all sorts of emotions, including pride, guilt, fear, and panic that relate directly or indirectly to our survival. No matter who we are, our ancestors at one time lived in shelters made of rock, mud, wood, grass, ice, and/or the skins of animals. And quite a few of them, no doubt, worried about freezing and/or starving during a considerable portion of the year. As population grew, they tended to use up more and more resources, such as when residents denuded entire forests in Europe and in New England in order to get firewood, destroying habitats of who knows how many animals. All because, not having feathers and wings and not weighing less than 25 pounds, those ancestors could not fly to Acapulco to keep warm in the winter like these geese. Our real ancestral home, then, is not whatever country or continent we think it is. No, our real ancestral home is the natural world. And the other inhabitants of this world, including these baby geese, are not museum pieces. They are our brothers and sisters, our fellow travelers. Not conquerors or intruders any more than we are, but survivors like us, mirrors of who we are. May we heal the breach that our civilization has created between our souls and our natural habitat. May we stop thinking of ourselves as Darth Vader or as Alexander the Great, and know that we are just as much a part of the natural world as a moth, a mole, a monkey, a morning glory, or a meadowlark. And if nature is a museum, we are not spectators. We are part of the exhibit. May we remember that, just like those geese, we still spend much of our lives finding ways to eat, sleep, warm ourselves in the winter, cool ourselves in the summer. We are part of the natural world, always inextricably. May our environmentalism, then, arise not out of guilt, but out of love. And may we forgive our imperfections, even as we strive to undo the damage our imperfections, along with our burgeoning population, have caused others. So let us now pause for a few moments to forgive ourselves our trespasses, even as we row our boat ever more gently down the stream.